Archaeologists are making more biblical discoveries proving the validity of the Word of God. America continues to decline into the abyss. And why are conspiracy theories taking such a strong hold on American interest and on the opinions of American citizens? Is it the decline of the mainstream media? Is it the decline of the trust in government? The answer will probably shock you. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, it's End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. It is Thursday, July the 18th. This will be our last program for this week as we are taking off the next 3 days to take some time to our family. Again, many of you guys know that we had a loss to our family. We consider family, and that's a beloved pet that we had for 18 years, has passed away, and we felt that we needed a little bit of time away for our kids and just to get, you know, away and get our minds off things. So we're going to take that time. I'm sure many of you guys who know and understand and have pets, you get where we're coming from. But nevertheless, we want to welcome you to the program tonight. We got a jam-packed podcast for you tonight. We've got a good one, many talking points. We're going to hit all different angles and different topics. Before we get started, as always, guys, I'd love for you to smash that like button. That's going to help us push this material out on these platforms. And if you guys on Apple and Spotify would give us those good reviews, that's going to push our programs as well on the podcast platforms there, so others can get eyes on our material as well. And as always, listen, if you're new, first time joining us, stumbling across our program, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And I myself or the administrators that we have, we're going to welcome you, and probably others that we consider family here at End Time Headlines, they're gonna welcome you as well. So again, we love you guys. We appreciate all of our new viewers and our regular viewers as well. So over the years, many of you guys probably know this, but some of you may not. There has been notable discoveries that point to the validity of the Bible, the Word of God, being true. For example, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947 through 1956 in the Qumran Caves near the Dead Sea. These scrolls included some of the earliest known manuscripts of the Hebrew Bible. These dated from the 3rd century B.C. to the 1st century A.D. and provide valuable insights into the texts and the practices of that time and that duration. Then we had, of course, we had in Egypt in 1945, they discovered the Nag Hammadi Library, which was the collection of the early Christian and Gnostic texts that dated to the 4th century, including a gospel that we don't have in our 66 books of the canon of scripture. They call the Gospel of Thomas and other works. Again, we call these the books of the Apocrypha that were included in this discovery. Then you had the Codex Sinaiticus and the Codex Vaticanus. These are two of the oldest and most complete manuscripts of the Bible. Some of these dated to the 4th century and was discovered in St. Catherine's Monastery in Egypt. The Codex Vaticanus is held in the Vatican Library and also dates to the 4th century. Then you had archaeological discoveries, such as the Tel Dan Stele, which is an inscription found in northern Israel that references the House of David, providing historical evidence of King David outside of the Bible. Then you had the Pilate Stone. This was discovered in 1961. Discovered in Caesarea Maritima, this stone inscription provides historical evidence of Pontius Pilate. Again, he was the one that was directly responsible for ordering the crucifixion of Christ. Then you had the Caiaphas Ossuary. This was in 1990, a limestone box that was used to hold the bones of the dead. In this ossuary was found in Jerusalem, inscribed with the name of Caiaphas. If you know your Bible, he was the high priest who played a role in the trial of Jesus and ended up pushing for the crucifixion there. Then you have the City of David excavations, and this is going on. This is ongoing. These excavations in Jerusalem have uncovered structures and artifacts dating to the time of King David and King Solomon, providing evidence of the ancient city's existence and its biblical descriptions. Then discovered in the 19th century, you had Hezekiah's tunnel, which was an ancient water tunnel in Jerusalem described in a Bible in 2 Kings 20:20, which was built during the reign of King Hezekiah to secure the city's water supply against the Assyrian siege. And we could go on, guys. The Ebla tablets, 1974-1975, the Pool of Bethesda and the Pool of Siloam. This was all discovered in the 19th century. Then you had evidence that came out pointing to the truth of the events mentioned in Genesis 19, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a lot of evidence found on that as well. Now, that brings me to our first talking point of our podcast tonight. I thought this was extremely intriguing. This came out not too long ago. I want to show you this. This is from the dailymail.com. Other sources picked up on it as well. Proof of Bible study about angels killing 185,000 soldiers in one night has been uncovered after 2,700 years. Wow. Let me say that again. After 2,700 years from when this story actually occurred, there's now been a discovery by researchers that has brought out this ancient military base that researchers say that may corroborate a Bible story about God's angels fending off an attack on Jerusalem. Now, in case you're not aware, this story can be found in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 19, verse 35. I want to read this to you. You can see this up on your screen. And it came to pass on a certain night that an angel of the Lord, not angels, plural tense, a single angel of the Lord went out and slew in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. Let me say that again. One single angel went out into the camp of the Assyrians and slew 185,000 men, and their bodies laid on the ground the next morning. Until recently, there has never been any archaeological evidence that the supernatural event or even the battle actually took place. However, now using modern mapping techniques, archaeologist Stephen Compton claims that he has found more evidence of the epic battle that took place. This Assyrian empire that the Bible references here operated from 1365 to 609 BC, hundreds of years before the time of Christ. The invasion of Jerusalem was driven by the empire's king Sennacherib, who wanted to assert his political and economic dominance over all the routes across Syrian desert that led to the Mediterranean Sea. Researchers had previously discovered a scene carved into the stone walls of the king's palace, which celebrated his conquest of Lachish, a city 42 miles south of Jerusalem. The carving showed how the military base was laid out, allowing Compton to compare it to photos taken of the area in the 1910s. Compton noticed an area that was the same size and shape as the drawings on the palace wall, which led to ruins containing the remains of a perimeter wall and pottery shards. After conducting an archaeological survey of the site, Compton determined that it was abandoned after Sennacherib's invasion and the humans had not inhabited the area for at least 2,600 years. The finding has, quote, paved the way for researchers to locate other similar military sites in the region, and they hope it will lead to uncovering ancient cities that were destroyed by the Assyrian Empire. Back in 2021, Compton wrote in a post on Twitter that he had discovered the location of the military camps of this king. Quote, each was a round site a little over a mile north of the respective old city walls, and each bore the same Arabic name on at least one early map. The location also signified that it was the site where Sennacherib's forces planned their attack, because it was called Kerbet al Madara in Arabic. I probably slaughtered that, but meaning the ruins of the camp of the invading ruler. Before Compton discovered the Assyrian site, researchers had only encountered one other ancient military campsite in the area. The secondary site was occupied during the Roman siege of Jerusalem, and its layout gave researchers a way to compare the layout of its military camp to the Assyrians. Roman military camps were always rectangular, whereas this was oval. The characteristic shape of Assyrian camps. Wow. Wow, guys, this is phenomenal. Other than 2 Kings 19, you can also discover in Isaiah 37, 36 through 38, and 2 Chronicles 32, 21, all detail how the Assyrian soldiers were slain the night before they attacked Jerusalem. In all stories, the Israelite deity Yahweh sent an angel who passed through the camp while the soldiers slept, slaying all of them for threatening the followers of God. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about another archaeological discovery. Researchers now have given proof to a story that we have read, that many of us read. Some of you never heard this story. Perhaps it's the first time you've heard of this. But nevertheless, it gives proof to the Word of God. Now, what I found fascinating was the fact that one angel of the Lord slew 185,000 soldiers. So what's interesting is I want to show you something that I found phenomenal. Now, I pulled this up for you. Matthew chapter 26 gives us a description of when Judas had come to betray Christ. Most of you know this story. And I'm going to start at verse 47. I want to read to you something that's phenomenal. And it's all in context of what we're talking about. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" And then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus, this would be Peter, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant on the high priest and cut off his ear. That servant that his ear was cut off was named Malchus. We know this from other gospels and from other accounts, even outside of the Bible, it talks about this. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Now, that was at that time. We go into a whole rabbit trail, and I don't even want to entertain that. So let me stay with this because my mind goes into these little directions here. Now, listen to what he says here. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father? Look what he says. And he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. Let me say that again. He said, do you not think that my Father can provide more than 12 legions of angels? Now, when you do the math on this, come on, all you math experts, here's one for you. If in the Bible, a legion typically consists of 6,000 angels, okay? So if Christ said, my Father can send 10 legions of angels and deliver me, again, do the math. 10 times 6,000 is 60,000 angels, and one angel slew 185,000 men. So you would take 60,000 angels times 185,000. Your total is 11,100,000,000. Christ was saying that I have the ability to call on 10 legions of angels that can wipe out every person on the planet if I wanted to. Now here, let's move on. I got another story here. Archaeologists discover more evidence of Bible story about Moses leading his people to the promised land 3,200 years ago. What's this about? According to another article by Daily Mail, archaeologists have recently uncovered secrets of a biblical city that sat within the promised land where the Israelites settled after Moses led them out of Egypt. The Israeli Antiquities Authority recently shared their findings from Zenoa, which is mentioned in the Old Testament, revealing stone walls, pottery, and other artifacts that date back more than 3,200 years ago. The Bible states that the Israelites reached the Promised Land, also known as Canaan, around 1406 to 1407 BC after wandering 40 years in the desert. Let me pull this up so you can see. Here's a map of this location of this on this map that you're seeing in front of you. Again, the Israeli Antiquities Authorities recently shared these findings from Zenoa, which is mentioned again in your Old Testament, dating back more than 3,200 years ago. So why is this exciting news? I think it's exciting, guys, because when you go to the book of Romans, let me pull this up. I want to show you something here. In your Bible, in the book of Romans, in verse 20, it tells us, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, in context here, he's talking about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who choose to willfully suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Why? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So what I'm trying to tell you, God, now, when we look out, we look outside of our windows, we go outside, we look and we see the creation of God. We see his handiwork. We see his tapestry. We see the sun rising every morning. It goes down every evening. We see the seasons come and they go. What is this? This was all set in motion by God, by our creator since the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. It continues. So all of his invisible attributes are clearly seen and is made evident by the things in which we are able to behold and see. So it's no wonder to me, it's not a surprise to me, friend, that I believe more and more evidence, physical evidence, is going to surface and circulate. Why? Because, listen, we could go many different angles of why this is, but I'm going to tell you, let me give what I feel in my heart is. I believe, listen, the Bible says that God is long-suffering and wills that none perish, but they all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I believe God is going to reveal himself more and more. He reveals himself through dreams. He reveals himself through visions. He reveals himself through encounters. He reveals himself through signs and wonders. And now he's revealing himself through archaeological discoveries, proving the validity of his very word that he says, come on, is inspired. It is authentic. It is infallible. But your Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this word shall pass away until all things be fulfilled. Your word even says that he exalts his word above his name. Think about that, friend. So I'm not surprised by this, and neither should you. And I pray that this happens more often, because it's going to open the eyes to the skeptics, to the agnostics, to the atheists, to the unbelievers, that Christ is revealing himself. Yahweh is revealing himself in these last days through these continual archaeological discoveries, again, proving the validity of the word of God. All right, now we're going to move on to our next segment here. As many of you guys know, we know according to scripture, the Apostle Paul in many of his letters has talked about this. He talked about in the last days that darkness will come. It will get darker. It will not get better. It will get darker. There will be perilous times. There will be distress of nations with perplexity. It says that lawlessness will abound. You go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It talks about that all this is paving the way for the revealing of the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. So everything that we're seeing, the upheaval, the imploding of nations, the verge of civil war, all these things, is happening just as the Bible talked about. And there's an article that I want to share with you today. This is from Michael Snyder's website, themostimportantnews.com. I want to read you to this. I'll read you this title. Authorities are literally losing control of the streets as America's societal collapse accelerates. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, things have completely spiraled out of control to the point where there is, it appears anyway, that the United States is not even a civilized society, or it's on the fringe. It's hanging by the fringe of even being a civilized society anymore. The chaos in our streets continue. There seems to be no end in sight. There doesn't appear any way that the government is able to gain any kind of control or order. The theft, violence, and mayhem that we're witnessing in our major cities is continually being fueled by the worst homelessness crisis in our entire history, the worst drug crisis in our entire history, and the worst migration crisis in history. Again, if authorities are not able to gain control of our streets at this time or in the near future, what is going to happen once our society completely collapses and reaches an even more dangerous stage? One example is a New Hampshire family that is being terrorized by a homeless encampment that sprouted up behind their historic home, leading to violent encounters with the vagrants. According to a report, Robin Bach and her husband spent years restoring their 19th century dream home in Concord to raise their two children, ages 8 and 11 years of age, but have been plagued by the campers living in the woods behind behind their residence. According to the report, they've received death threats and have heard gunshots and screams from behind their tree lines. A swing set in the backyard bought in 2020 during the pandemic now sits untouched by their terrified children, who will only play in the front yard. So they will no longer play in the backyard. And friends, unfortunately, thousands and thousands of homeless encampments are popping up in communities across the country. In fact, this family alone reported to the police at least 37 times about the endless terrorization and threats and in the encampments going on behind their property line. Over the 4th of July holiday weekend, a total of 109 individuals were shot in the city of Chicago. 109 people in one day, over the weekend of the July 4th. 109 people were shot, 19 fatally, and gun violence across Chicago during an extended 4th of July holiday weekend, according to police records. Superintendent Larry Snelling and Mayor Brandon Johnson both called for accountability for those responsible for the shootings. Johnson was pressed to address what adjustments need to be made to keep the company safe. His response was simply getting more support. Snyder pointed out in his article, in a civilized society, when you're attacked and you call the police, they typically come and they will help you. But in Chicago, about half the time, there's not even a police officer available when someone calls in to report a violent crime. In fact, in 2023 in Chicago, there was more than 1,800 phone calls made to 911. By the way, and I'm talking about 911, did you know that the 911 infrastructure is collapsing? They're in trouble right now. But there was 1,800 phone calls made in 2023 in Chicago of a person being shot. Only about 800, fewer than half, were responded to immediately by police officers. The other 1,000 callers were victims of 911 backlogs where no police were available at the time of their phone call. These victims had to wait half an hour or even an hour, even several hours, for 911 call backlog to end and for police to finally come to their aid. So this is, guys, this is not just Chicago. This is not just Vermont. This is not just isolated cities. This is happening all across the country where police are completely, utterly overwhelmed by this tsunami of lawlessness that we're experiencing firsthand. We're witnessing it. We're hearing about it. We're seeing it on television. The police forces are outnumbered by lawbreakers. And in some places, in major cities, This has gotten so bad that lawbreakers brazenly take over entire streets on a regular basis. One of these places recently was in Los Angeles, where more than 50 vehicles were involved in a street takeover in downtown L.A., where according to the Los Angeles Police Department, video showed a car completely engulfed by fire, sitting in the middle of an intersection as a thick black cloud of smoke rose from the vehicle. Other cars can be seen as they try to drive around the inferno. Now, and this is in L.A., how bad is it getting in California? Well, according to a recent report, things have gotten so utopian in the state of California that delivery drivers are being accompanied by armed guards due to, quote, crime concerns while out making deliveries. Now, in a minute, I'm going to show you how they are going to respond to this, or what their intentions are in tackling this this state of lawlessness. You shouldn't be shocked by this, but we're going to show you this anyway in just a moment. One company, Core-Mart, has started hiring guards to escort its drivers, which means that somewhere in a boardroom, it likely made more financial sense, listen to this, to pay for all new security staff than it did to continue allow its drivers to get robbed, as was happening previously. So again, you've got these delivery trucks that are trying to make their deliveries, but they're being hijacked. They're being overtaken by these lawless thugs. Then you've got all the mom and pop stores, the small businesses. We're talking about retail. We're talking about grocery chains. They're all being completely overtaken by this. They're being forced to move out of the state and taking their companies with them, taking their business with them, moving out of state, or they're completely shutting down altogether. Now, what's leading this? It's all this rise of theft. Over the years, the trend affects both large retailers and small businesses alone. There's been a significant number of small retailers reporting these theft incidents. 85% of small business retailers have experienced theft at least once a year, with many reporting monthly losses ranging from $500 to $2,500. Retail theft contributes to substantial economic losses, including $14.9 billion in lost tax revenue annually in the United States. Certain states, listen to this, and cities are particularly impacted by retail theft. For example, here it is, California, for example, faced up to $5.23 billion in losses due to shoplifting and retail theft. Major cities like New York and Los Angeles have reported sharp increases in shoplifting incidences, with New York City alone recording a 45% increase in shoplifting from 2021 to 2022. Now, guys, I'm not making excuses for the thieves and the robbers, but a lot of this is blamed on the leadership and the politicians and the legislations that are being passed in these cities. For example, in California, the law related to theft has specific thresholds that determine whether a crime is even classified as a misdemeanor or a felony. Under Proposition 47, which was passed by voters in 2014, the threshold for felony theft was raised to $950. So right at almost $1,000. What this means is that any theft of property valued at less than $950 is only considered a misdemeanor. So these groups, these mobs can come in, and if they take a handful of things, they could take a new iPhone, they could take some earbuds, and they could walk straight out of the door, never be threatened by any security, nothing. They can walk straight out, and there's nothing they're going to do about it because it's considered to be a misdemeanor. Now, what this is doing to us as the average consumer and the average customer when we go into these places, especially these major places like this, you literally can't even buy a toothbrush because it's behind a glass case. It's in a locked cage. Everything is locked up. It's in a cage. It's behind glass. Or there's a picture of it, and you gotta take the tag or scan it, the QR code, or whatnot, and then you take it up front and you show the clerk and say, this is what I want, because they don't keep anything in stock. So you have to only order it online, or they keep it all locked away. Now, don't worry, though, because these cities have a plan to tackle unrest, violence, uncertainty, crime, and the list goes on. Let me show you their latest invention. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to show you Athena. The future of security has just rolled in, and her name is Athena. She is an AI security robot pioneering the new era of protection. Picture this, a security robot that's always on duty with eyes that never close and a focus that never wavers. This is Athena. Developed by the folks at Cody Robots, Athena is like the superhero of surveillance robots. It's got the brains of the most advanced AI. It can adapt to any security challenge thrown its way. Whether it's day, whether it's night, whether it's rain, whether it's shine, Athena's on the job making sure everything's safe and sound. Athena is equipped with 418 times zoom cameras, providing extensive surveillance capabilities. Its thermal imaging technologies, can detect temperatures ranging from 50 to 1,022 degrees Fahrenheit, wide angle, ensuring that Athena can accurately identify heat signatures. In terms of physical dimensions, Athena is approximately 4'7" tall and 1'7" deep. It weighs 121 pounds, which balances stability with mobility. Athena features a 4-microphone array for clear audio capture and a 9-watt speaker for effective communication. She is powered by a robust lithium-ion battery with 25.6 volts, which is and has the automatic charging feature, and ensues that Athena is always charged and ready for continuous operation. Again, look at this thing, guys. I want you to see this. This is what this thing looks like. Tell me, does this not give you all, come on, talk to me, all you 80s and 90s folks. This gives you the RoboCop vibe. It gives you the iRobot vibe. This gives you the Skynet Terminator vibes. Again, what do we always talk about on this program? We always talk about predictive programming. All of these movies are all they're doing is preparing society to accept something that is once fiction that will become fact. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen, Athena, the AI security robot. Athena's most striking feature is her 360-degree Ultra HD recording capability with eye-level cameras providing comprehensive coverage. This robotic guard captures every detail with exceptional clarity. This constant high-quality surveillance significantly enhances security in various environments, from corporate campuses to healthcare facilities. Again, what do I always say here? What could possibly go wrong? And then, of course, we've got to mention this. What sets Athena up, what sets her apart, is her AI-based detection technology. Let me say this again. What sets Athena apart is its AI-based people detection technology. What? This smart system minimizes false alarms, allowing security teams to focus on real threats. This feature precision makes Athena an ideal choice for high stakes environments where accuracy is crucial. Again, you got to see this. What you're looking at on your screen, for you guys that are watching the visual of this and not listening, if you're listening by Apple, by Spotify, again, try to come over to the visual of this if you can, watch the replay. Look at this thing rolling down the street here. Could you imagine being out? Maybe you live in New York. You're out for a night's walk, just going down the street, trying to get some fresh air. It's a beautiful night. It's a clear sky. You're going to go to one of the restaurants there to eat. Maybe you're out walking with your significant other, whatever the case may be, and it's kind of a quiet night, and all of a sudden you see these things rolling down the street like this. This is the future of America. All right, folks, I'm going to shift gears here and go to a different direction. It's kind of not really a direction. It's just kind of we're on a four-lane highway. Now we're going to take a side path, but it's going to lead us back to the same highway. All of this stuff, listen, the technology, the information, the security, the collapse of society, what we're seeing here, everything that's happening, guys, is pointing us, all of society, not just Christians, not just Bible believers, we're not the only ones, friends, that has an understanding that we are living in perilous times. We're not the only ones that understand apocalyptic times. We're not the only ones that know and comprehend these things and know that we need to prepare the best that we can financially, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. I'm going to show you an article that I thought was profound. And it shows you the environment that we are now living in. Look at this headline. This is from the New York Post. Costco. Do I got anybody's shops at Costco? We're members of Costco where we live. We have a Costco. You may have a Sam's Club. What's the other one? There's Costco. There's Sam's. I think there's another one. Hit me up in the comment or in the chat. Let me know what the other one is. But Sam's and Costco's are two big ones, at least here in the South, at least where I live. But look at this. Costco has an apocalypse dinner kit. Guys, this is not the Babylon Bee, and this is not a commercial for the Jim Baker Show. This is the New York Post reporting that Costco has in its possession, in its inventory, a apocalypse dinner kit that allegedly will last up to 25 years. It's got a price tag on it. Let's see what this is about. I'm going to read this to you. Quote, given that the world will start seriously unraveling next year. Whoa, the opening line of this. You got to see this. I didn't make that up. That was not my commentary, friends. I am reading from the article. Look at this. Given that the world will start seriously unraveling next year. Whoa, is the New York Post prophesying here? What do they know that we don't know? What's going to happen in 2025? I don't know. But they're saying that it's going to seriously unravel next year. Well, let's see what else they're saying here. As you read on, the reason why they say this is they reference a blind mystic. Well, we don't take our prophecies from blind mystics. We stick to the Bible. But I will say this: I'm not giving credence to this blind mystic. I'm not giving him any credit. But I will say this: I think it doesn't take a prophet to see and read and understand and everything that's going on in the environment that we're in to know that I believe it's going to get rough. I believe even before we get to 2025, I think even more things are going to happen. All right, as the environment is becoming so perilous, Costco has decided to sell an ultimate apocalypse dinner kit that will last for a quarter century and cost under $100, as detailed in a viral Instagram post. Now, here's a picture of this. Somebody needs to go out there and buy this. I'd like to hear from you if you get this. I guess this is for when the apocalypse hits, quote, which could be any time now. Who knows? Said food influencer Pressure Luck, who goes by Pressure Luck Cooking. Again, this was his Instagram handle while describing the portable pantry in the clip. So this is, again, this is ReadyWise emergency food supply. And it looks like it has, from what I'm seeing, 124 servings up to 25 years. What does that say right there? Let's zoom in, see if we can zoom in. It has up to 25 year shelf life, 124 servings, just add water. You see, this is pasta Alfredo, and it looks like there's a rice available too. So it looks like you got different ones in this bucket. So again, it's almost like Costco's taking a page from the Jim Baker show. Because if some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, I don't know if he does it anymore, but every now and then I would watch what he's talking about, and inevitably he would always be trying to push some kind of like one of these apocalyptic meals and buy, you know, this tub of this massive macaroni and cheese. You just add water. It's the same concept as this. And he used to do that on his programs a lot, and I'm pretty sure he still has those things available. But again, think about this, guys. Don't miss what I'm saying here. It's one thing for a preacher who believes, and by the way, Jim Baker is not a pre-tribulation believer. He believes that the church is going to go through the tribulation. He's a post-tribulation believer. And this is why he's selling, again, all these food supplies. And he's selling different, not just food, but other merchandise to help prepare people to go through the tribulation. And this is why, again, I'm sure he makes a lot of money off of this from people that holds to that view. I'm giving you the truth here. It's one thing for a preacher to be selling this on the theory that the church is going to go through the tribulation, therefore it's a necessity to have these things. But it's another thing when a company like Costco is now jumping on board and selling these survival kits. I remember a time when prepping and preppers was frowned upon, but that's not the case anymore. Why? Because times are changing quickly, my friend, and even the world is starting to wake up and see this. This assortment isn't just a temporary fix, it's a long-term solution. Costco writes on its site, it's a tangible expression of your dedication to ensuring you and your loved ones are cared for no matter what lies ahead. Quote, the company heartwarmingly adds, but it's not just about survival. It's about maintaining a sense of normalcy, comfort, and even enjoyment during challenging times. All right. So what do you think about it, church? Let me know in the chat below on YouTube, if you're watching by Rumble, wherever you can comment. Let me know your thoughts on this. Is this something that you personally, you and your family be like, you know what? I'm willing to drop $100 bill. I'm willing to drop $100 on a bucket that can, you know, that we could survive on. I don't know. I don't know how a family of four is going to survive 25 years on that. I think maybe for one person and 25 years, that just sounds for $100. I mean, there must be some very small servings, but just again, let me know what your thoughts on this. Do you agree with me that, the fact that Costco's even selling this? Well, I mean, what does that speak in volumes to how society is now thinking, and even corporate leaders and even business owners and presidents, they're all understanding the times that we're in. Speaking of the times that we're in, I found this clip by Valuetainment, and I watched this and I thought, how sad is this? Friends, listen, we have come to a time when the mainstream media cannot, there's a very small percentage of people out there that even trust in the mainstream media anymore. There's even a greater percentage of people that no longer trust our government anymore. Why? Why is that? Well, there's many reasons. Number one, political polarization. Many people are opening their eyes and recognizing the trust in the government often aligns with partisan views. When one party's in power, the opposing party supporters may express less confidence in government institutions. Then you have scandals, you have corruption, you have economic inequality, you have ineffective governance. Hello, like how the CDC handled the want virus, how they handled infrastructure, look what just happened with the 45th president, how the Secret Service and the government and local authorities, how they handled that situation, the incompetence, the lack thereof, all of this stuff. And then we wonder why people don't trust in the government. Then you have media influence. We all know this, guys. The media does not tell you what you need to hear. They tell you what they want you to hear. They have one narrative. They all parrot the same thing, and they feed you the same narrative. And then you have privacy concerns. I mean, look at All this came to light with Edward Snowden when all the revelations came forward about the government surveillance programs. All that came forward, they're spying on us through our smartphones, our smart televisions, our smart devices. They can hear us. They can see us. Then there's the lack of transparency. Government actions are perceived as secretive. All this breeds suspicion and distrust. Look, guys, it's been 4 days, 5 days, excuse me. It's been 5 days since this attempted assassination on the 45th president, and the secrecy that still is that encircles the shooter is unbelievable. We are 5 days into this, and we still don't know half of the truth about this. This reeks conspiracy big time. It reeks cover up big time. And again, and then they wonder why the average American doesn't trust the government. They don't trust mainstream media, and they get these warped perceptions. So we're almost running out of time. I got about a 5 minute clip here. In this clip, they're going around interviewing people about what they thought about the attempted assassination on the 45th president. The responses are shocking. Now, they may not be shocking to you. You may be like me and you're getting numb to this because it's becoming so normal. But this is absolutely sad, and it gives you, it shows you where we really are in our nation.
Guy on Manette asked me a question and says, "Hey, Pat, my wife is a hardcore liberal. I am a conservative." That's an interesting marriage, right? With them being married to each other. He says, "My wife, the moment it happened, she said, oh, that's staged. There's no way that's real. It's ketchup. There's no way somebody tried to shoot it. They're staging it to get him to be liked, the President Trump. There's no way this is real. You know, and I'm like, there's no way your wife would say such a thing. Then you realize a lot of people actually believe it was staged at the beginning. So this guy, Rob, I just send you this clip.
And by the way, this was, do you know how many people said this in the comments on our Facebook page, on our YouTube channel, on our Telegram channel, on Instagram? All kinds of people saying this very thing. It was staged. It was fake. It's unbelievable. Listen to this.
If you can pull it up, this guy's going around asking people, what do you think about what happened with the assassination attempt? And the answers people are given is ridiculous. Okay. To think, by the way, I can guarantee you, these are the same people that believe in Russia collusion.
Yep.
These are the same people that believe man landed on the moon. These are the same people that probably believe that JFK was assassinated by,
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Lee Harvey Oswald. These are the same people that believe in all that stuff. Yet at the same time, that was ketchup on what happened to President Trump. And the guy asked, he says, but how about the fact that other people died? He says, no, it's
right.
Go ahead and play it, Rob.
Wow.
Go for it.
It's a false flag.
False flag.
Yeah, false flag.
People, somebody died and two people injured. What do you think about that?
False flag.
False flag.
I thought it was magnificently staged. It was professionally done. It almost looked real.
What?
Staged by who?
Oh, by Mr. Trump, of course.
I think this whole thing is staged.
You think it was staged?
Yeah.
It depends on everybody's view. Yeah.
View of the assassination attempt? What do you think? Does it kind of depend on where you're standing, whether or not you agree with the assassination attempt or disagree with it?
I just don't see that being the truth, but that's my, I'd rather just not make any comment.
Really quick, what are you talking about the truth? What do you mean? Oh, you just don't believe it was an assassination attempt?
No.
Please don't.
No.
We're so anti-Trump. I don't even
know. Was it a bad thing, though? Was it a bad thing? Would you condemn it?
Oh, that he got shot at? Of course.
Yeah, you never
right.
do that.
Of
that's
course,
all.
You don't do that.
That's all messed
up. Yeah, that's really bad. Exactly. You don't do that. Was it staged? Probably.
Staged.
What?
Okay, so you think Trump maybe staged a fake assassination for support?
Look at him. He's backing up.
Okay. And that resulted in somebody dying and other people being critically injured?
I haven't seen the news today. I'm not here for the news. I haven't seen anything. I'm on vacation.
You just thought it was fake?
California,
of course.
Pat.
One person died in the crowd, two critically injured. What happened there?
Small price. It wouldn't matter to Trump. Do you think he cares if people die for him to be elected?
Whoa, so he's insinuating that the man who died at the rally was on Trump, that Trump staged the whole thing and cost him to lose his life. Wow, dude, these answers are unbelievable. And it's terrifying that these people walk among us. It is really scary. And the sad thing is, shame on you if you're in the comment section and you believe this nonsense and you believe that it was staged and you believe it was fake and you believe these were paid actors. Yet you're the same people. You're the same folks that condemned Alex Jones when he made some kind of assumption. He made that same assumption about other events, and you wanted to crucify him, shut him down, silence him. But now the shoe's on the other foot. And now you think it's a staged event. You think it's a false flag.
That doesn't mean anything to Trump.
Now, staged from whose side? Do you think Donald Trump staged it for attention?
Vinny, that's your
could
friend.
Be, or
I love her.
Oh, yeah, it's my boy. Or something, but I don't. The fact that he only got his ear and he would like sit up and said America, I don't know. Come on.
Right.
It doesn't feel normal.
What is our evidence for suggesting that it was a staged, a fake assassination attempt?
I think that he walked away alive with perhaps a scratch on his ear.
Grazed his ear.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you know, behind the scenes, that was all fabricated. Some noise, they put a little scratch on his ear, threw a little blood on his face.
Oh my gosh, guys, seriously? And of course, these people are they're never going to give credit to God and say, well, God supernaturally protected him, which he did. I believe that 110%. Whether you love him, whether you hate him, to argue that he was not supernaturally preserved is, again, if you don't believe that, you probably believe what these loon bags believe. And that it was fabricated. It was staged. It was fake. It was all that. So you're telling me that he got down on, you know, when they put him down there, they took out a razor blade and they, well, Mr. Trump, we gotta cut out a chunk of your ear with this razor blade and throw away the evidence. And then when you walk up, it'll look like you were shot, even though bullets were heard, they were fired, and people, and a person died. And there's two others that are critically wounded. But again, according to these loon bags, it was all staged.
Now, so you think that they planned from 130 yards away to shoot off the corner of his ear?
They never shot off the corner of his ear. That was all done by the people hanging around him. Nobody ever shot off his ear.
And where does and he knows this? How? How does he know this?
Okay. So you just see it grazing his ear as maybe not, you know, maybe not real. What about the people that died? What about the father that died in the stand, as well as the others that were critically injured?
I don't know. I can't tell. But to me, it just looks like it was planned. And bless that guy's soul for dying for this cause. I'm so sorry for that person's family.
So you think? If we're thinking that the Trump, I mean, that's a big thing to think. Is that Donald Trump's administration faked an assassination, got people killed to try to do this? What would you say our reasoning is for saying that, or we have no reasoning?
Just a feeling.
All right, folks. So, what do we learn here? We learn that I don't want to put our stake here on, you know, the fact that these people are saying this, but the fact, watch this. Here's what I'm trying to go with. We have reached a time in America where what is reality? What is truth? What is authentic? What truly happened? Nobody knows anymore. Because everything's being controlled and manipulated. For example, if I go and look, if there's an event that takes place and I go and try to and search it on Google, it'll come up on your screen and says that the results are quickly and rapidly changing. In other words, let me give you the translation for that. We are conforming the story to and creating a narrative for you, so that you can get the narrative and not what's truly happening. And again, the amount of information that's coming out about this is sad. It's disturbing. And it reveals how broken our nation really is because of all the confusion and the chaos. Nobody, again, no trust in the government, no trust in any government agencies, no trust in the mainstream media. And this is where we're at in America. So we are, and again, remember, Paul said, in the last days, there will be perilous times. And Jesus said, there will be distress of nations with perplexity, confusion, madness, and chaos. My friends, we are there. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. What you're looking at right here is our main website on your screen. You can go and visit us going through the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can right there on your screen download our free app, which is available on Apple and Android devices. You just simply download it today, get yours, hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. Every headline, every podcast right there at your fingertips for your convenience. And as always, guys, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. If this ministry blesses you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, we ask that you pray about becoming a partner of our ministry. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically, or you can give through the main website right there, endtimeheadlines.org. And then there's the way you can give through check or money order by simply making out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391 on your screen right there, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So as always, guys, we appreciate our partners. We appreciate our supporters of our ministry. You know who you are. We love hearing from you, the letters, the emails, the messages. We hear many of you guys on a week-to-week basis, either through letters or through emails, through messages. Some of you guys have sent us pictures of your family asking for prayers. Guys, let me give you an update real quick. I know we've gone over. We typically try to keep it within an hour. We're gone over. We're right at the hour mark or a little bit over that. But I'm going to give you some quick announcements. After all, this is our last podcast for this week, and we'll be back Monday, Lord willing, of next week. So I want to get you up to date on some things. Number one, I want to make this known so you guys won't be looking tomorrow and be like, well, where is he at? Where's the End Time Headlines? Why are they not recording? Or why are they broadcasting? We will be off tomorrow, which will be Friday, the 19th. My family and I will be out of town. We'll be off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll be back on Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for a full week, meaning four podcasts. Sometimes we do five, depends on how busy we get that week of with stories and different things going on. But we'll know Lord willing, will be at least four programs next week. So keep us in prayer for safe travels. I'd appreciate that. Number two, next week, we will have the floors in for our prayer room, our prayer/sanctuary. And at that point, all the walls are in, all the flooring's in. Then we just got to put in the electronic equipment. We got to put in the speakers. We got to put in the monitor. We got to put in the camera. Why? Why are we doing that? Because we're going to have prayer sessions from that room, and we're going to stream it live, not pre-recorded, live, so that you guys can join us, and we're going to come together as a corporate body and pray. So I'm excited about this. And we're going to start doing this. I don't know if we'll do this every week or how we're going to do this. We'll pray about this. We'll figure it out. And I pray that it grows and people's lives get touched from this. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight. We appreciate you. Remember, don't forget to help us share this message by hitting that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button. Until we see you guys on Monday, we pray the Lord bless you. May he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a few days. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.